Greetings, friends and bibliophiles, and welcome to the inaugural meeting of the Non-Pro Book Club. I'm Frank, and I'm super excited to finally be doing this thing with a bunch of my nerdy pals. So, why a book club in this day and age? I think it's important. Every day we find exciting discussions online and with friends about popular movies and TV, a lot of which are based on books, but precious little about the books themselves. So let's get reading. Let's introduce ourselves. Who'd like to go first?
I'll go first. I'm Guinevere. I am an avid reader. I'm an English and special education teacher, and I'm really excited about doing a book club with other people who like to read sort of nerdy stuff.
I'm James. I'm a non-pro regular, I guess. And yeah, I unfortunately, most of my reading these days is in audiobook format because I don't have as much time as I used to.
Still counts.
But yeah, I've always loved stories. So any way to consume a good story, and I'm in.
I'm Krista. I'm an academic librarian at a university. And I've always loved to read. I mostly do genre reading for fun because I do boring non-fictional reading for work. So when I get home, I want to have something fun to do. And mostly I read ebooks. I don't do paper books anymore, but that has more to do with the fact that I don't want to wear my glasses when I'm reading in bed.
Oh man, zooming into print has changed my life.
Right?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I used to have a very
just tells people how old we are.
Yeah.
That we're excited we can zoom in on our books.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I used to have a long commute, and like James, I used to devour books on audiobook. But when my commute got shorter, I'm not complaining. People, especially people in New Jersey, I'm not complaining. I have a short commute, but like I couldn't take 5 minutes at a time, 10 minutes at a time. So I started reading more, and then I just couldn't like carry around. I pick at lots of different books at the same time because I'm not like, you know, beholden to anyone's schedule. So that means I might be carrying as many as 3 paperbacks or 4 or 5. So depending on the genre I'm reading.
You're not a book monogamist?
I am not. No.
You just flirt around with all the books?
I try to be. And this is actually part of what I want the club to do for me, because it'll take me a very long time, months, to get through a very small book just because I'm doing so many other things at once. But, you know, part of a book club, you have an obligation to your peers. So I'm hoping that'll kick in. I'm kind of curious how we all got into reading in the first place.
For me, I've been a reader pretty much my entire life. When I was really little, like before I can remember, my parents read to myself and my sister every night before bed, and it was this thing to look forward to, and dad would do all the voices for all of the different characters, and mom would get mad at him because we were getting riled up instead of calming down. And it was, you know, it was like a highlight for myself and my sister. And from there, my parents encouraged me to read whatever I was interested in, whatever I wanted, even if it wasn't, you know, quote unquote, age appropriate. Which there's a certain appeal to being told, like, you can do whatever you want, when, especially as a small child, like most of the time everyone's telling you no. So yeah, that's me. Just books all the time from the beginning.
That's really interesting. I'm almost the opposite. I didn't have a lot of parental supervision growing up. I was like raised by television. I was that generation raised by TV. So I think I started getting into reading, specifically genre reading, was when I discovered a cartoon I had watched as a kid a lot was based on a book. That cartoon was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
So good.
Yeah, I think I saw it on PBS. It may have been a BBC original. It was very weird to me. Like as a kid, I noticed that the animation seemed a little off from everything else I'd seen up until that point. And I was very like excited about it. And weirdly enough, there were two sister characters, and I had two sisters. So I like there was a lot of little things that made me really enjoy that story. And when I found out it was part of a book, I was like, oh, okay, I will try reading this book. And at my elementary school, I think, library. And then I discovered it was part of a book series, and that just blew my mind.
Even better. There's more
than
one.
Yeah, that's right.
That always made me super, super pumped when I liked a book.
The first one is free, Frank. The first one is always free.
Yeah, right? It's like a little, just to get me, and now I'm a lifelong nerd.
Right.
And as much got our hooks in you now.
As much as I liked audiobooks and ebooks and everything, I weirdly, obsessively collect books. I'm looking at the fifth or sixth version of The Lord of the Rings I bought just recently, because this one was like really cute.
That's, is it shiny? Does it have like the pretty pages on the edges? Like the
does gilded pages. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is not a good use of my money, or it's the only good use of my money. So,
I mean, we just moved and the number of boxes of books is insane in my house. Yeah. And I think I'm going to be unpacking boxes of books forever. And it's a problem because I also like subscribe to a book box, which I probably should cancel, but I have like a stack of books from this book box that I'm like trying to catch up on, because once the school year starts, everything gets crazy. Yeah. Lots of books, too many books. I should probably let some of them go.
I have the advantage of being able to say to myself, I work in a library. I don't need to buy another book. And so, plus I'm getting to the age where I'm like, Marie Kondo is my hero. Let me get rid of all the unnecessary crap in my life.
If I were to build a free little library, one of those things, it would probably be the size of my house.
And it would have 20 copies of Lord of the
Rings. Right. Yes.
To jump back to talking about how we all got into reading, reading was always something that was very difficult for me. So I'm dyslexic, and there was just something about being told that, like, you're not going to be good at this, or, you know, this might not be for you, that made me, like, at first, like, very spitefully want to do it. That really kind of what started me into reading, but I very quickly kind of became obsessed with stories. And my father, who was also dyslexic, really wanted to encourage my reading. So he kind of had this policy where he said, if you want a book, right, it could have been anything, a comic, a manga, a paperback, a hardcover, an encyclopedia, it didn't matter. If you wanted something that you were going to read, I could have it, right? No questions asked, he would buy it for me. So there was also this like advantage of just, you know, being able to get stuff whenever I wanted.
Access.
And that quickly turned into, you know, Harry Potter, which turned into Lord of the Rings, which turned into The Hobbit, to Artemis Fowl, to history books about Alexander Hamilton, to, dystopian literature, to, you know, until my dad had to finally change his policy that he wouldn't just buy me
anything. You're cut off, James.
So that's really interesting, James, because I am also a spite reader.
I love this.
So, the story that my mom told me recently, I had forgotten, but my parents always read to me, like you, Gwen, my parents read to me. I don't remember my parents reading to me, but they tell stories about it. But apparently, I was kind of lazy as a kid, and I sort of remember this, and because my parents always read to me, I didn't feel like I needed to learn to read, right? There was always somebody there to do it for me. But then I had this friend, I think in kindergarten or first grade, who would read, and I did not believe that she was reading what she said she was reading. Like, the vocabulary was too sophisticated, and I was like, no, she is not.
You're a liar. You're not reading that.
That's what I was like, no way is that really what she's reading. She's making that up. So my mom said it pissed me off that she was such a better reader and that she was reading all this sophisticated stuff. So that's why I learned to read, is because I was mad that this friend of mine was a better reader than I was.
Nice.
Man, spite reading. I never thought we would discover such a wonderful thing.
I wish there were more spite readers in the world. I have lots of students who, if they got a little spiteful, might benefit from that.
Yeah.
Also, like your comment about the vocabulary, I feel like that's probably one of the reasons why I like gravitated to fantasy books. Because obviously, like, I had difficulty with pronunciation and vocabulary, but fantasy books, nobody knew how to say those things.
Yeah, no one knows how to say that. Right? No one knows what that name is. Yeah. You just make up what you think it is, and exactly. It's all good. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Unless you're reading Tolkien.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
And then he has, like, you know, pronunciation guide and an Elvish dictionary in the back of the book.
I didn't know how to do that when I was in sixth grade.
No, there is something to be said, though, for the fantasy genre, its tendency to, like, explain the vocab as you go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was in, I guess, maybe like sixth grade or so. I got really deep into like Arthurian legends because, Guinevere. And so I was reading all of this like Camelot and King Arthur stuff and Excalibur and magic and Merlin. And some of it, I was like, I don't really know what this is like about. Doesn't really matter because this chapter is going to explain all of the concepts for me. And that like opened doors to other fantasy that was perhaps a little more appropriate for like a 12-year-old to be reading. Like Tamora Pierce's works and, you know, eventually Harry Potter and all of that good fun stuff.
Were you still kids when Harry Potter came out?
I distinctly remember being in sixth grade and someone had left the first Harry Potter book under the desk, like in the little book basket. And I had heard one of my friends saying, like, it's this really good book. And it was math class. And I'm like, not a big math person. I apologize, Mr. Klimko. You were a wonderful teacher. However, like, not my jam. And like, I finished my worksheet, which I probably got all wrong. And I like pulled this book out of the bottom of the bin and it had like, it was like the hardcover. It had like the pretty like shiny letters for like the Harry Potter where like you turn it in the light and it shimmers off of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to start reading this book because someone clearly doesn't care about it if they left it here. And like, I read this like stranger's book and then I like brought it back to math class and left it there. It was like, I need to find the next book. And at that point there were three of them out, so they'd been out for a couple of years, and I was like, Mom, we need to go to the library now.
That's some sort of Dobby free elf being given a like there was some sort of magical fairy that interacted with you at that point.
Yeah.
I was in college when I read Harry Potter. So no, wait, I was post-college before, well after college that I read Harry Potter. And I think that was a spite thing. I was like, this thing everybody keeps talking about, it's nothing. And then I loved it.
You were like, it can't be that good.
Well, it was really big when my kids were little, right? Like, so that dates me. My kids were in grade school and I was like, I need to read this to make sure it's okay for my kids to read. And then I loved it.
Well, that was, so my mother and I read Harry Potter together, at least the first three books. And
that's so cute.
Well, my mom didn't have a lot of time. So like, it was a real struggle finding the time when Prisoner of Azkaban was, we were reading Prisoner of Azkaban. And I'm like, I really want to know what happened. Mm-hmm. So when the fourth one came out, I didn't.
Were you like, Mom, I love you. However,
we did like the midnight release at Barnes and Noble. And I was like reading in between the car lights on the ride home. And she's like, did
Me
you
too.
Start? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We're done with
I'm
this.
Like,
you're going to have to read
I'm
this
like
on your
three
own.
Chapters in.
At the time, it might have been the biggest book I'd ever read.
That book was huge. And I remember we didn't go to a midnight release for that one. We went to, there used to be like an independent bookstore over in Westfield, like where the where Wine and Liquor is now. And,
I know.
And that's where we got our copy. And I had first dibs because I am the oldest child. And I read it first. And like, I read it in a night. And then I like passed it off to my sister and she read it. And then she passed it off to like, I think it was probably my dad who read it. Like the whole family like read all the books.
I'm glad nobody was waiting on me. I'm not a speed reader.
I mean, I didn't sleep. I was like, I need to know. And then when everyone else had like read their way through it, then I got it back. And it's like, okay, this time we're going to go more leisurely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a speed reader either. Now, I don't have a learning disability like dyslexia or anything, but I'm one of those people, I hear the words in my head, like there's a narrator mm-hmm. in my head, mm-hmm. and that's the only way I can really absorb what's going on. So I read at the speed of someone talking, and I know lots of people who are like, really? Who are much faster readers because they don't do that. They don't have their brain narrator in there telling them the story.
I didn't even know people didn't read that way.
I definitely have like the voice in my head that is like, I'm listening to the words. I'm like bringing them alive in my mind and like forming them into proper sentences, but definitely at an increased pace when I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
There have definitely also been times where I'm like, I need to go back and reread this because I just like went way too fast because I was looking for the highlights and I needed to know what was going to happen. And now I know what happened and I need to figure out like the gaps that I missed because clearly I missed something.
Yeah.
So we're all obviously avid readers, and more importantly, we're excited about the opportunity to start reading together as a group. And the book we chose this time is V.E. Schwab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds right.
That sounds about right. God, when you only ever read a thing, you don't know how
it's going. I know, it's the worst. We're going to start talking about this book, and there's going to be like weird character names, almost definitely, because it's got like the magic thing.
I started reading it, and I'm already like, how do you say that person's name?
Well, so, it'll be fun. Next time, we'll have to be like, so, main character, everyone say both. It on three, and it'll just be like a whole bunch of different sounds.
I feel like I definitely should probably actually read this then, because my answers will be hilarious. I'll be like, no, that's how you say that. It's Burger.
The word is magic. It's spelled out. It's right there. Magic. All right. Now, we did actually say the name of the book. A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab, selected by you, our listeners, in a poll of our fan club. And I'm excited about it, even though I know very little. I just know the blurb set in 18th century London during the reign of King George III. It follows a magician named Kel who can travel between four parallel worlds called Red, White, Gray, and Black London. I am psyched. I can't believe this is a book series. I'm really worried about that, but I'm very excited about the first book.
Are you scared to commit to this book because there might be more that you want to read?
Do you have commitment issues, Frank? Commitment. Yes, you do have literary commitment issues. You already told us that.
There are so many good books out there that I do sometimes feel like, oh, should I put all my eggs in this one basket? But I'm willing to. I'm definitely excited to read this first book with you folks. How about the rest of you? Do you know anything about it so far? Are you excited about a particular aspect of this book?
I know nothing about it other than as well the blurb. But actually, I really like the blurb because it reminds me of a couple of other things I'm kind of enjoying in fiction right now, with the parallel worlds and the reliance on the colors for the names of the parallel worlds. It's also very different from the stuff that I pick to read on my own. Tends to be either something very popular, or I tend to lean heavily on the very traditional fantasy genre. I mean, I've read all.
You're also more of like a sci-fi.
I do sci-fi. Guy, I do a lot of young reader. I mean, like, I'm 36 books deep into the Dritstu Erden, whatever, you know. So this probably wouldn't have like naturally come up on my radar. And I think that's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited about reading it in part because, like I was saying before, I subscribe to a BookBox. So I follow on Instagram all of the other like BookBox people. And it's like this whole weird niche community that I didn't know existed. But they all got real excited about this book when it came out. And I was like, oh yeah, let me just put that on the to-be-read along with, you know, 300 other books that I'm probably never going to get around to. So now I'm getting around to it, and that's nice. And I'm also kind of excited because I like the sort of historical fiction parallel universe situation. Fantasy, historical fiction were definitely my main reads when I was a teenager, like sword and sorcery type stuff, and then like Regency ladies who do things they shouldn't that would never have been acceptable in actual Regency England. So yeah,
I'm excited about this for everything that you guys said, but also about book club in general, because I tend to get attached to like a specific series or a specific author, and I don't go outside that comfort zone. So this is going to make me stretch a little bit. I mean, not that like this kind of fantasy is outside my comfort zone, because it's really the sort of thing I enjoy. I've gotten ahead of you all, and I'm enjoying the book already. But learning about new authors and new books is going to be the good thing for me about being part of the book club.
I'm excited about that too. I feel like I tend to get a little stuck in like a young adult rut. So I feel like reading with a group of other people and not being like, well, let me just pick the next thing off of my list, but let's work together and do a poll and pick something we all are interested in. Like, I think that's going to be good for me.
Yeah.
You got to learn to work the field. I'm just saying. It's sometimes it helps.
Frank, I like to commit to a book and stick with it like 100%. And then I get really frustrated if I like am not enjoying the book and I feel like obligated to finish. Although very recently I didn't finish a book and it's kind of haunting me a little bit. Mm. But I hated it and I don't
Which
want
book didn't
to.
You finish?
I feel bad saying that I didn't. Then I don't want to say.
I don't think I've ever gotten that point. I got dangerously close.
No, it's not the ones that we were reading. James and I have read together before.
So life's too short to read books you're not enjoying.
Right?
But yeah, I feel like I'm also excited to kind of the way like Frank said at the beginning, like there's everybody talks about Game of Thrones. Everybody talks about Endgame, right? And I really love the culture of everybody talking about those things. And well, certainly there are plenty of people talking about The Rings and Harry Potter and that sort of stuff outside of some deep Reddit communities, you know, like
book needs to be massively popular for the yeah. general audience.
Not
to
so
be discussing.
Popular that it generated a bunch of movies, which overtakes the book.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm super excited for the Non-Pro Book Club. I hope everyone listening will be as excited as we are. If you'd like to follow along, the easiest way would be to subscribe to this podcast and then join either our Facebook group or our Goodreads group or even our Discord server, which is something that's going to be completely new for me. We're stumbling around like a fool there, but whatever. And, you know, read along with us. We're going to be doing hopefully weekly check-ins and discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, what we're having issues with, and what we can't wait to explore together. So please join us in this crazy experiment called Book Club.
It'll be fun.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.